So good morrow, adventurers, and welcome to our podcast, Good Morrow, the show that discusses all things Dungeons and Dragons. We are your co-hosts, Mandy and Katie. I'm pointing to you like you're on the other side of me, but you're not.
I'm like,
today we're talking about what brought us into Dungeons and Dragons in the first place. And more importantly, what keeps us coming back? What keeps us a part of this community and what makes us want to invest our time here? Because it's a big time commitment. Maybe not as much as like a DM per se, because we're both players, but it's a big time commitment either way. So, but first, we did want to briefly introduce each other as this is our first recording. We've talked about doing this podcast for years, but it wasn't until recently that with the support of our friends and our spouses that we just kind of decided to do it.
Yep.
So with that in mind, I'm incredibly excited to be doing this with Katie. We've been friends for the better part of a decade, which makes me feel really old.
My gosh.
We met through her husband, who I worked with for 5 years. He ended up having to set us up on a play date because we were both just a little bit resistant to it. After that, unfortunately, he was right. Katie is amazing. And I had to admit he was right. After that, we and our families were inseparable, as our kids are all basically born within at most a year of each other. I think we don't have a bigger gap than that. Katie is incredibly talented, having done work as a voice, stage, and film actress. She sings, dances, models, and bakes her way into everyone's hearts. All of this, even the baking, actually a lot of the baking, she has brought to our tabletop experience. I have eaten many cookies and many cakes at your table that you have made, and my waistline can attest to it. A mom of 5 kids, bravo, by the way. She has played a wood elven beastmaster ranger who thought she could name all the trees in the forest, an Asimir peace cleric who could not figure out how spiritual weapon works, and most recently a half-orc echo knight who punches frail old men when they answer the door and hates being called a bodyguard. She is truly just a shining star.
Oh gosh. Okay. Mandy is the best friend that everyone wishes they had. She is an anomaly to me. She was her high school's drama nerd, president of the, I'm going to get this wrong. We're not the cheerleader president. President of the drama club.
Not even a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, speech and drama team.
Okay, there it was. Okay, yeah. President of the speech and drama team, a cheerleader, a class president, and valedictorian. Did I also say prom queen? I'm not sure, but there it is.
That was a surprise to you.
It was a surprise to me in like the most loving way. She dated the entire football team. Granted, it was a small school, but still, girls got game. Fast forward a few years, and now she has a bachelor's, 2 master's degrees, 4 kids, and a husband, and a partridge in a pear tree. Mandy knows more lore about Harry Potter than even J.K. Rowling herself. It's impressive. Equally impressive is her ability to read. How many books have you read this year already?
This year?
Yeah.
19.
See, like just in 2023. It kills me. I love it. We are constantly finishing each other's thoughts, and much to the chagrin of our DM, aka my husband, breaking out into song spontaneously. I can almost guarantee this will happen on this podcast. In short, Mandy is a delight.
I'm just going to tell briefly the story of what brought us to D&D and then really get into the good stuff, like the questions that we have for each other and what the experience was. Since the story really starts with my husband, Jason. So Jason got a job that we were both really excited about, and I wanted to buy him something really nice as a congratulations. So obviously I went to Walmart.
As one does.
He had mentioned at some point, a few times, honestly, and I don't remember what prompted it, that he wanted to give Dungeons and Dragons a try at some point. So when I saw the starter kit for $20, I was like, there we go. Started playing with you all, I think about a year later or so is when things really started shaking up.
Oh, really?
After both of our families. Yeah, I had had it for a while.
Oh.
After both of our families had moved to the same town again, because you guys had moved for grad school and then Jay got that job. So I bought it for him then.
That's right. Okay.
And then we didn't start playing until we also moved for grad school to the same place because I had to copy Chris. So my questions really for you. So when we started playing and I bought that starter kit on a whim, Chris, your husband, is the only one who had played previously.
Right.
So when Jay brought it to the group to see if we could play together, what were your thoughts?
My thoughts when he first like asked and was like, hey, girls, because really it was just you and me he was trying to convince. What do you think about this? I was like, because we all know I've been like this huge in closet nerd, like suppressing it for years.
Oh, but we know, but the rest of the people don't know.
Yes. Super big nerd. But no one else knows it. My own brothers are still shocked, which is weird to me. So yeah, I was a little like, ooh, I don't know about this. Because I had like preconceived ideas about Dungeons and Dragons and people I know that play Dungeons and Dragons. And
it conjures a certain image.
It does.
To be sure. Yeah. Mm. What pushed you past that?
Yeah.
Because I had a kind of a similar reaction. I was probably more positive towards it initially.
Probably. Because you're nice and sweet and caring like that. I don't know what like pushed me past it. Probably just the fact that it was you guys and we were all best friends. And I thought, well, why not? Let's just, my gosh, I'm coughing.
Did Chris have to sell you on playing it? Because I kind of like got that impression a couple times that maybe Chris was having to like talk it up to you.
Yeah, I definitely talked to him about it because he would be like, oh, I did this when I was a kid. And that didn't help. but like he made me watch Hamburger Helper forever.
And Booker.
And Booker
Not Helper. Not Hamburger.
See, this is why they do it. It's great and it's like brilliant, but it also messes with me. But yeah, so doing all of that helped. But really, ultimately, it was just getting together with you guys and playing that really sold me on it.
Yeah, it was really fun. We had like so many super fun times at that table. Going back to when we first started playing, was there a particular moment that you remember where you were like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever? Or was it just because I have like a moment?
You have a moment?
But I'm just curious. What made you want to keep playing?
I don't have like a specific moment that I can remember. I just remember sitting around the table because that's where we were before COVID hit and ruined everything. And just like we're all laughing at each other, like just having a great, it may have been even just the good morrow with Jay. But
we should probably back up a little bit and explain.
We should probably back that up. Do you want to explain that since he is your husband and you are responsible for him?
That's a real bummer. So for backstory, the reason that the podcast and everything else that we're working on is named Good Morrow is because my husband in his, he is the only one in our group, new members included, that does not have theater experience. So he gets a little intimidated by, I'm making it sound like we are critical role level. We're not by any means. Katie is really probably the only person at all qualified to be doing the things we're doing. But anyway, he really was trying to role play and he just really aggressively at one point said, good morrow. And everybody at the like your husband, the DM, just was like, what? Because it was just out of nowhere. Nobody had said it, like read the room. And it was really funny. So now we as a group make it our mission to work in good morrow into every session, which has ended up with my husband flipping people off, which anybody who knows Jason knows that that's insane. Mm-hmm. Also, there was a moment where we were all sitting at the table, and this was actually in our first campaign. Okay. I enjoyed playing and was having fun in the starter campaign, but the first homebrew campaign that Chris wrote, I was sitting and I was just thinking about all the great characters that we're all playing, right? Mm-hmm. And this was even right at the beginning where I don't even think we had all really fleshed out these characters or not. Yeah. And I was just watching Jason, who is so, I don't know if I would like, say Jason is stoic. He's just a little bit more reserved than the rest of the group, you know? And watching him just like light up and have so much fun. Like, I will make a fool of myself every freaking week to be able to, and I do, to be able to see my husband smile the way he does in those games. And also just like, there was one, it was like my first combat with this character, and I was playing a rogue, which I will argue until my death is the best class. And we will talk about that at a later date. Anyway,
that's another
my first nat 20, just the intense high and excited we all got when that dice rolled a 20.
Yeah.
I remember just sitting down and laughing, be like, D&D is really just a bunch of people playing pretend. Mm-hmm. And yelling at dice when they don't do what you want them to do. Because guess what? 9 times out of 10, it does not go the way you want it to go. That dice does not do it. But when it does, boy, oh boy, does that feel so good.
It does. It's that happy feeling. I feel like it's like a jingle or something that's coming on. We will write that down. Write a jingle.
And then we'll just write jingle and we'll sing it. Every time
we will
anybody rolls that, a nat 20,
that happy feeling. Like, I mean, it's the same question literally. What was your first reaction when Jay asked you to play?
Let me go back into the files here, make sure I'm I was a little bit like, oh, am I that big of a nerd?
Why are you asking me this?
Well, I wasn't really that. It was more like some self-reflection, like, is that for me? You know what I mean? Like, is that okay? And then, so I was excited, but also just a little bit like, So there was a little bit of that, but there was also, I was a little bit intimidated to play with you, actually.
What? Why?
Because you're this fantastic actress. And like, I did theater in high school, but like, I was thinking about it. It's literally been close to 13 years since I was in anything, like my last production or anything.
Yeah.
So you have this really crazy cool ability to be able to do accents. And I don't know if you know you do this, but like, you take on a totally different stature depending on the player you're the character you're playing. Like Olvera, your last character, the Aesimir cleric, like you sat ramrod straight when you played her. And when you weren't talking, you would slide out of it. Right. All of these other things. So I was a little intimidated by that. Because I was like, I'm not that cool. Okay. Like, we've been playing for 3 years and I'm just now starting to play with an accent. Right. And I don't think my character's accent is that good.
It's kind of fun. Great.
For me. I say accent. It's a very soft, like, mixture of, I think, Hermione Granger and
Keira Knightley.
Elizabeth Bennet, Keira Knightley. Yeah, somewhere. Elizabeth Swann, somewhere in there.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing that. Oh, I see.
Yeah, see, that's why it's not good. Because you...
No. I knew Elizabeth Swann. I didn't know Elizabeth Bennet, too. But I can see it now. I like it.
I was just excited to, like, have something. And also, Jason was very excited about playing. And I think anybody who... is married, anything that your spouse is really excited for, you tend to be a little bit more on board. Mm-hmm. Right. And also Jason had made like this monumental sacrifice for me. Like, he quit his job to become a stay-at-home parent so I could do grad school without really any guarantee that it was going to pan out.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. So, you want to play Dungeons and Dragons and watch me pretend to be an elf or a halfling who's just really bad at stealing stuff? Let's go.
Let's do it.
I'll do that. That's totally fine. Yeah.
In addition to that, what is it about D&D? Or I guess you did kind of answer it, that hooked you. It was that moment that you had talked about previously.
So there's that moment, but there's a couple things for me. Because this was one of my questions for you, right? I like to do this really embarrassing thing where I interview myself in my car when I'm by myself in my car sometimes. Do you not talk to yourself in the car?
No, I talk to myself. I don't know if I interview myself.
Well, like, I think maybe interviewing myself is like a weird way to phrase it now, but it's like, I'll answer. I had this question for you pop in my head and I was like, what's my answer to that? And then I started talking through it.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes.
So I think there's a couple things. So there's that. There's also this ability to be able to work through like different parts of your personality and different,
yes,
for lack of a better word, different like traumas, I guess. right. Or like different, it's a really interesting way to like heal your inner child.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like,
yeah,
my character right now is an aberrant mind sorcerer. I get to do magic all the time, try to read people's minds. It's freaking awesome. So cool.
It is.
My character is so cool. And, you know, our first campaign character, they were princesses, you know, who Ariadne died and came back to life and could like throw psychic daggers at people. Like, who doesn't, like, who hasn't been so angry at some point that they're just standing there like, I want a weapon to just randomly appear in my hand. Ariadne could do that, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
So there's that ability to be able to work out that fantasy. I always joke, like, you're my absolute best friend, but Chris is also, you know, mm-hmm. your husband, one of my absolute best friends. And we always joke that we're actually siblings and we were just separated out somehow, right. Some way. One day we're going to have him on the podcast and maybe other people can weigh in on how similar we are.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, maybe
what does that say about you, actually, that your spouse and your best friend are so similar? What does that mean? Does it mean anything? Chris has this ability somehow of tapping, I joke about it, but it's real, of somehow tapping into my daddy issues every campaign.
100%.
So there's one moment in campaign one where our father died.
Mm-hmm.
Big and spoiler. Like, I remember, yeah, like you're going to get, and I remember at one point driving home from class, and just being in my car and thinking through this thing I wanted to do. And I had the idea, you should have done this when Tybalt died. And it was like this very real wound opened. And I just like started crying in my car.
Oh my gosh.
Then I get in and Jason's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, Tybalt's dead. And he's like, he's not real. also, and he died like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
But that's also, Chris did like this really great thing where like, I never got to have that fatherly protective vibe. Like mm-hmm. I never got to have that experience. And Chris did that in game. Once he realized that my husband can't not flirt with me when we're playing D&D.
No, you're right though. I've had the same thought with like all of our characters or with all of my characters, getting into them, playing them, really like delving into them more. I'm reminded every time like, oh, this is like method acting. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, basically you like become the character. That's what just reminds me of every time. I'm like, oh, because we all start taking on like different parts of our characters, or maybe it's more like the other way around. All of our characters have always had like at least a little bit of our personality in them, or parts of us, or maybe parts that we wished we had, or we want to do, or we secretly do, but no one knows.
Wait, do you secretly punch old men when they open the door?
No, but sometimes I just want to. I'm just kidding. Did you think you would continue playing, let alone that we'd be playing 3 years later?
No. Not at all. Didn't think it would, like, I thought we would play and it would be like maybe a once in a while thing, mm-hmm. not an obsession.
Yes.
That has literally taken over my life.
Yeah, 100%.
No, I did not think we would still be playing.
Yeah, same.
You know, like, okay, because it's not a week that goes by that one of us in our little group chat for the D&D does not type in around Wednesday, I need to play D&D. Like, one of us.
Yes. Or I need to kill things, which seems wrong. But anyone who's playing D&D knows.
Hope, like, somebody, like, you know, Big Brother, like, you know, you're assigned FBI agent. Like, I'm sure, like, as a player and, like, specifically as a DM, I get nervous for people looking at my search history. Because, like, the things I've had to Google, like, you Yutzes, when I DM'd for you guys over the summer.
Right.
And you guys harvested all that purple worm poison because I could think of no way to stop you. There was no reason you couldn't.
No.
I had already said you'd cleared the cavern. It was dead.
Yep.
And you rolled stupid high on your medicine check. There was literally no reason. So you have like a full thing of purple worm poison. So I had to Google, like, can you drown in poison? What would that look like? Because I had a whole description because you guys were like, what if we drown the drow priestess in purple worm poison? And I was like, I'm sorry. Are we good? So as a mom of five kids.
Yes.
This is kind of similar to our last question, but why?
Why? Ultimately, it's just because I get to hang out with my best friends every single Saturday. And it's so much fun. You get to go into this whole other world that you guys have created. So unlike playing a video game, which is also really fun, or watching a movie where you're going into like another world for that extended or a certain amount of time, it's all pre-made, right? You don't get to make it. So we get to make it ourselves. We get to change it every single time we meet. It's constantly evolving. And I don't know, it's just something like crazy about that in like such a good way. And like, why wouldn't you want to do that? I don't know. I don't know if that even explains it. It's just so much fun.
So one last question, I think, before we go, Katie.
Yes.
What was most surprising to you when we first began playing?
I always knew Chris, the DM, my husband, was a phenomenal like storyteller, because he for years, he's always told me these stories that he has created that he wants to like write one day. And he'll just like tell me, and he has so much imagery. It's just insane. Like he just creates this picture and you can. Oh, he's hearing me. He's all like. great. Now I'm blushing. Get some color in my face. Anyway, he's just, that was really surprising. I will keep this short. Also, we've kind of talked about it. Just
stop flirting and answer my question.
Never. How much fun it was. It is. That was very surprising to me. Had no clue it was going to be that much fun.
Yeah. No, that it is so much fun. I think this is a really like not a cool answer. I'm going to answer my own question because I just want to share it. Yours are like cool answers. I was most surprised by the amount of math that I had to do.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
During gameplay as a rogue, right? So like we played till level 15. I think that's an insane amount of D6. And then I had a bunch of homebrew items that gave me extra damage. So much math, super mathy. And then as a DM too, you're like basically doing geometry, which spoiler alert, I'm not good at. So I hate that. Boo on all of that. All right. Well, I think we're at a good point where we can wrap up.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening to Good Marl. Before we end, make sure you show us some love by leaving a review or comment. Because in true millennial fashion, we live for applause and validation. It will also help other people find us. Additionally, while you're typing, you might as well let us know, why do you love D&D? And what keeps you here? Because maybe it's different than what we love about it. We'd love to hear. So stay tuned for next week, and where we will be discussing the character development of our first characters. We've mentioned them a couple times. Twin sisters, Adrina and Ariadne Erlon. Wood elven princesses with a penchant for sandwiches. And how we developed as players during our first homebrew campaign. Well met, friends, and we will see you again next week.
Tomorrow.